Well, it's a wonderful day to be alive in the kingdom of God and to know Him in spirit and in truth. And are you glad for what He's doing in your life? Well, there's five of you, and I'm glad for you. Maybe we could work on the rest of us. And we're going to take a text this morning in Revelation chapter 12 and do a little more work in the latter chapters of Matthew. Revelation 12 and beginning in verse 1. So happy to see visitors in the house today. We want you to make yourself right at home. And this would be a perfect day for you to go home filled up and overrunning with the Holy Ghost. I know it's Mother's Day and everybody's mind are a little bit distracted with things that have to be done and events that have to be expedited. And I'm going to try to get out of your way and let you go on and take care of business here today. But we want to pay ample attention and handle thoroughly the Word of God at the same time. Revelation 12, and beginning with verse 1, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." This is, in the prophetic context, this is Israel. "And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered." And the birth that Israel is bringing forth is coming to you way back from Genesis 3 and 15, when in the middle of the curse, God told the woman, but one day, the seed of the woman is going to put his heel on the head of that snake. And then God chose Abram, and then the patriarchs, and Israel. And Israel brings forth the Christ child. And this is the child that she in this verse is in travail with. "And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth." And this is Satan and the third part of the angels cast down to the earth. "And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Because he knows that this is the place where he will win or lose, where God will either redeem the lives of all men, or that the kingdom of darkness will prevail. Because it's all going to hinge on this Christ child. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne." And there's no details. And there's no battle. And there's no struggle. It's just the perfunctory description of the fact that God just does business. And the devil can't stop it. And humanity can't stop it. And events or circumstances can't stop it. He's just telling you this is how it happened. All of the forces of darkness were marshaled together at this one spot to meet God and to meet this woman and to stop this delivering event. But he was born and he was caught up to God and to his... You just covered the whole life of Jesus Christ, his crucifixion, burial, and resurrection, and got a faint glimpse of his ascension. In that verse. God bless you. If you love his word and you're glad for it today, let's give God praise and thanks and bless his name. No, this is the word of God. Let's give him high praise for his word. It is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God, and we magnify your name, and we lift you up, and we're thankful today for the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, here tucked away in the book of Revelation, the book of prophecy and things to come, is this overview of God's bride in the Old Testament, Israel. And the most important event, because that was what Israel was chosen to do. She was to be the conduit for the blessing and the promise of God to come forth in the earth. And in these first five verses, you've got this tremendous focus on motherhood and the tremendous resistance to motherhood and all of the great freighted weight of what this is about. Because your soul and my soul and everyone who's ever lived from Adam down to the last verse in the Bible depends on this event that we read about right here. And the fact that God can pull this off successfully. The focus here is the promise of God in Genesis 3:15. In the garden, when they fall, God pronounces curses in that third chapter. And he curses the man, and he curses the woman, and he curses the earth, and he curses the serpent. And he says, you're going to crawl on your belly, and you're going to eat dust. But I'm telling you, the snake was created before that event. The snake was, he wasn't talking to the snake. He was talking to the one that inhabited the snake. And he said, before this is over, you're going to be prostrate on your face, on the ground, on your belly. And you're going to, if you would, bite the dust. You're going to eat some dirt before this is over. God says that from the beginning of the book. I want to tell you right now, I don't care what you're facing, what you're carrying, what's warring against you. I want you to know and understand, God looked down through the ages. He saw it all, and he's already spoken it. It's going to be all right. God has it in control. There's not an enemy that faces you today that God doesn't have power over. Somebody say amen. My God, if you love him, clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Don't you love him today? Praise God. Touch somebody by you and tell them, Happy Mother's Day. But in the middle of the curse, he tells the woman, one day, woman, Genesis 3:15, if anybody would care to follow. He tells the woman, he says, one day the seed of the woman, he's talking to the snake, is going to put his foot on the head of your descendants or on the head of the serpent. One day the seed of the woman, and this is really, really curious language because the woman bears the egg. The male bears the seed. And so women don't have birth spontaneously and individually without some help from somewhere. And so in this case, though, the woman's going to bear the seed. And it's what we call the Immaculate Conception. And it's the only time that a virgin brought forth a son. And that's what he's projecting. He said one day the seed of the woman is going to get dominion and put his heel on your head, which is the biblical symbol of authority. He said, we're going to turn this thing right side up before it's over with. We're going to get this thing back in order. And mankind is going to be where I've made him to be. He's going to have rule, and it's going to come through a woman. It's going to come through the process of motherhood. Because it was the woman. Paul said it was the woman that fell. Chauvinist that he was, he acted like Adam was off minding his own business. And it was the woman, and in actuality, it was Eve that was tempted as the weaker vessel. But I was just wondering who was watching the shop and who was on watch while all that went down. But the promise of God then is tucked away in the midst of the curse. And in the midst of the curse, God sets in motion a prophetic pulse and a promise and a word of God that won't ever be deterred. It's going to come to pass. Doesn't matter what the kingdoms do. It doesn't matter what the people do. It just simply means that through the process of time, God's going to bring this to pass. And in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul says, and in the process of time, or in the fullness of time, God brought forth his son. He brought forth his son made of a woman made under the law. God planned it, God set it into motion, and God brought it to pass. And in his letter to Timothy, Paul said the woman was saved through childbearing. And it didn't mean that as you have children, that's how you get saved. Because you got to have some kids now if you want to be saved. You got to have some kids. Well, we understand the plan of salvation is repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But what does Paul say? What does he mean when he says she's going to be saved through childbirth? Somewhere along the continuum of time, there's going to be a woman that will be touched by God, and she will bring forth a man that is unlike any other man. He's going to be the seed of David. He's going to be the promised child, and he's going to be the second man, Adam. That's what Paul called him. And he's going to be perfect, and he's going to walk righteously, and he's going to be tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. So when he meets the devil on the devil's own turf, the devil has no power over him. He says, the prince of this world comes, but he has nothing in me. Because he had no leverage, because Jesus had no sin. And that child born of a woman is the message of God's redemption for all men and all women. And throughout the word of God, that's why you find so many attempts to kill all the babies. You find Pharaoh, a decree to kill all the babies in the birth of Moses, because Satan doesn't know when the baby's coming. And he doesn't know who the baby's going to be, but you'll find Athaliah sending out a decree to kill all the royal seed. And they wiped out all the babies that could be eligible for the throne of Judah, with the exception of one. There was one hidden out in the house of God. I just tell you, the devil can't stop it if God has set it into motion. And then at the birth of Jesus himself, Herod sends out the decree, and they massacre all the little children from birth to age 2 in and around the area around Bethlehem. And it was an attempt by the devil to shut this prophecy down. You better believe the devil knows this book. And he wants to stop you. But I want you to understand today, there is nothing the devil can do if God has set it into motion in your life and you are willing and you are compliant with the word of God. Then God will surely bring it to pass in your life. And is there a witness in the house that can say that that is in fact so? So that being said, back to chapter 27 in the book of Matthew, as we make our way on through the Gospels and on into the New Testament, we're down at the place of the crucifixion. And the last time we were together, we were dealing with that. And we've already set in motion here a discussion of the fact, though, that when God comes to do real business and serious business with mankind, he will come to the place of the curse, and he will do business right there at the point or the tip of the spear. The woman was cursed, and God said, I'm going to bring forth my promise from that cursed woman. The devil said, no, she belongs to me. And God says, you watch how I turn this thing on its head. Matthew chapter 27, and beginning with verse 64, at the point of the death of the Christ, the Pharisees go back to Pilate and they say, listen, this deceiver said that he would rise again in 3 days. And so we know that his disciples might be motivated to come and steal his body and then say, look, he's resurrected and he's alive. And then the latter case will be worse than the former. And so can you help us out here, Pilate? Pilate gave them a charge of Roman soldiers, and he gave them a Roman seal to put on the stone in the entrance of the tomb. And he put the power of Rome upon that sepulcher. And he said this, he said, make it as sure as you can. He told them, I want you to make it sure as you can. It had all the power of death already on it, which seemed pretty sure. It had all the power of the curse of God on it, because everything that sins is going to die. And so God was standing there. The seal of God was on that tomb. And the seal of death was on that tomb. And the power of Rome was there at the tomb. And the guards were there. And the Sanhedrin's power, the power of Jerusalem. All of that waited upon that stone. It wasn't just the weight of the rock itself that was going to be rolled away early on Sunday morning. But it was going to be the power of the king. It was going to be the power of his military.
it was going to be all the naysayers. They were all there trying to hold that stone in place, figuratively. But they weren't going to be able to, because God had already set this in motion. And here he comes to the place of the curse. He dies on the cross and meets death. But because he has no sin in his life, as they take him down and lay him in that tomb, the tomb has no claim over him. And death has no claim over him. And when he's good and ready, he can get up and get out of that tomb anytime he wants, because death only has a claim on you because of sin. That's why it's so important that you get your sins washed away and that you get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because there's coming a day when you're going to want to get up out of that tomb. It's only going to happen by the power of redemption and the fact that your sins have been washed away. Praise God. Matthew chapter 28. And it opens up at the end of the Sabbath, the first day of the week, which is Sunday. He gets up on Sunday, and Magdalene is there, and Mary from Bethany is there. And it's interesting to me that it's women that are there at the tomb. And verse 2, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled the stone from the door and sat upon it, because the prophetic began to move. The clock of God struck a certain place, and nothing on earth or in hell could hold it back. The prophetic and the promised begin to move. And when it does, no natural thing can think or can claim that it is sure. No power known among men can stand. And curses are rolled away when the prophetic begins to move, when the promise of God begins to move. This angel, he's sitting upon the stone. He tells the women, he said, I know you seek Jesus that was crucified. He's not here. He is risen. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And that tomb was a symbol of the curse and a symbol of the fall. And it was the place of the residence of death. But God came down and met us right there and stood there and said, now let's get it on right here. Let's undo this thing that has been done right here. And so he emerges from the tomb just like he had emerged from a womb that was cursed earlier. Now he emerges from a tomb that was cursed, and he comes forth, the plan of God, the promise of God. And God meets man at the place of the curse. And God exercises his authority. And God takes victory out of the hand of the enemy. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Listen to me. I'm not going to keep you long today, but I want to tell you something. When God has spoken it, you can't seal that up and make that of no effect. You can't pronounce decrees against what God has said. You can't set a guard against it and cause it not to be the way that God has determined that it will be. You can deny it. You can ignore it. You can try to cover it up. But when God is ready, that thing is going to come forth. You can revise it in the history book. You can say it ain't so. But I'm telling you, every man will be proved to be a liar. And God is going to stand true. Somebody say praise the Lord. With the priests, the guards came back and said, he's gone. And we don't get the details of the story. They just related to the Sanhedrin what had happened. That the body was no longer there, and that an apparition had appeared, and that something out of the ordinary had taken place. And the priests offered them money and paid them. The Bible says large money. Paid them large money to say, his disciples came and stole the body. And the Bible says, and that is commonly reported unto this day. But I'm going to tell you something. I was not there. I didn't go home with any of them. But I'm going to tell you that that night and for nights to come, the members of the Sanhedrin that heard that story and that paid that bribe, and the guards who witnessed it and they took the bribe, They might have said one thing on the street and one thing in public, but I'll guarantee you they went home, and when the lights were out, they lay wide-eyed upon their beds. Because they had come face to face with the fact that God comes down at his choosing and brings his word to pass. And there's no power in the earth that can change what God has set in motion. Somebody that's glad for that, give him a little bit of praise and magnify him for that today. Well, praise God. Praise God. So this business in Revelation and this business in Matthew, this is all about the promise and the plan of God going forth and breaking through what had been caused by failure and by sin. And so there's a corollary between the two. But back in Revelation chapter 12, this woman is Israel, and this child that's born is Christ. And that's first instance to the prophecy, and it is specific to the language that is there. But this is so powerful that it has ramifications for all women and all mothers and all babies that are going to be born. Can somebody say praise the Lord? This is a principal scenario for mothers, because I want you to know God deals with individuals. God deals and he says, whosoever will can come and drink of the waters of life. Your brother may not, but you can. Your daddy may not, but you can. Your mama may not, but you can. It may not be popular in your neighborhood, but you can come and live for God. Nobody in your lineage may have ever lived for God, but you can. Somebody say, I can. My God, I want you to know this. I want you to get this today. Because every time, and we can take this figuratively and we can take this literally, but I want you to know, mama, every time you give birth to a little baby, you've given birth to a brand new promise of God. Every time you give birth to a little baby, you've given birth to a brand new chance. There's never been a person like that before. There never will be again. It's like snowflakes. You've given birth to something unique that has something immortal down on the inside of it. Not that body, but there's a vestigial, there's a spiritual, there's something down on the inside of that that's going to live forever somewhere. And every time that music goes off in the nursery at the hospital, every time they go down to the birthing wards and they bring forth, it is the expectation of hell and the expectation of Satan and the expectation of death. It's the expectation of all of these things that work on the plantation of sin and fallen man and all of the mechanics thereof. Their expectation is, this is another sinner. This is another one bound for hell. This is another one without control. This is another one that will fail God and fail himself or fail herself. But I'm telling you, it ain't necessarily so. Even if the devil himself stands there as a dragon ready to devour your baby. You hear me, mama? You hear me today? It's not necessarily so that the dragon can have his way. Because the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, came down and he took the beard off the dragon in his own lair. He took the keys to hell and to death. Well, praise God. And every time that you give birth to a new promise, whether it's a little promise in a newborn baby or it's a promise you've found in the Word of God, and it's something brand new for you, and it's birthed inside your heart, I want you to know the enemy is right there to snatch that away, to lay claim to that. But it's just not necessarily so. I'm telling you right now, there are little bitties in this house right now that are going to grow up to be mighty in the kingdom of God. There are wayward teenagers out on the street of this city right now that are going to come into a USDA stamped and certified experience in the kingdom of God. They're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They're going to have their sins washed away all over this city. There are folks that the devil thinks belongs to him, but it's not. Not necessarily so, because God has met us at the place of the curse and he's made a way. Somebody say there's a way. Praise the Lord. Mama, I want you to hear this today. I want you to know that he may not be living for God right now. She may not be living for God right now. But mama, I want you to know this and understand it. That all that business with the curse and everything, it's been turned upside down. God has met us at the place of the curse. And God has brought forth the power of his word and of his promise. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. And Rome can say, and hell can say, and death can say, but when it falls right in God's plan and in God's way, God can turn that thing upside down. It ain't over till it's over. And it's not necessarily going to be the way that hell is singing about it today. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Ah, hallelujah. Praise God. Where's Monia? Monia. You had a miraculous baby. Well, there's the miracle baby sitting on your lap right now. And you've got another one on the way. Is that common knowledge? It is now. Well, I mean, a handful of women knew. I knew it couldn't be a secret. So, don't you read the Bible? Don't you know that calamity and destruction and chaos and the prophecy of the word of God is about to break loose in this world like it's never been before? I mean, it's already moving in the streets of every city, and everything in our world is groaning under the pressure of it. And everything they're trying to hold up and everything they're trying to keep in place, all of those things are trembling and they're about to fall apart. Their financial systems are going to fall apart. Their governmental systems are going to fall apart. And every king, you know, it's funny, throughout the centuries, there's always been kings' proclamations on the gates of great cities. Like, whosoever entereth in here, beware, king so-and-so, you know. But all of those cities are lying in ruins, and the faces of those kings are laying in the sand, and those inscriptions are broken in 100 pieces, and you can't find them anywhere. But men continually say how it's going to be, but it's never like that, because the pulse of the prophetic is moving through the continuum of history, and God's shaping it the way he wants it to be. These things are going to come on the... I'm not trying to scare you this morning, just hang on. God's bringing it to pass, and all this prophecy is right out of the word of God. The question would be, why do you want to have other children? Why do you even want to have a baby in these last days when it's going to be nuts in the earth? Now teach them to live for God. Well, that's a simplistic answer. La-di-da-di-da. Hell breaking loose on every side. I'm going to teach them to live for God. The devil has come down in the form of the Antichrist. We're going to live for God. All the financial systems are crashing. And stock market fell 1,000 points in one day. Ooh. We're going to live for God. La-di-da-di-da. But you know, that's the perfect attitude. And that's the perfect position to be in. I'm gonna keep on raising my babies, and I'm gonna keep on having family, and I'm gonna keep on having dreams, and I'm gonna keep on loving my brothers, and I'm gonna keep on forgiving my enemies, and I'm gonna keep on doing everything that God's told me to do, because I've got an understanding. We are walking along in this prophetic river of God. God is pulsing us along, and there's nothing in hell or on earth that can stop what God has set in motion. My attitude has to be, hell can't stop it. Rome can't stop it. The devil can't stop it. God's going to do what he's purposed and what he's promised. I want to know, does anybody in this house have a promise? Has anybody in this house heard from God? Has it? I'm glad for the three of you, for the four of you. We got home Bible studies for the rest of you. I want to know if there anybody in this house had to have you have a promise from God. And God's spoken to your heart out of his word. Don't worry about how bad it looks. Don't worry about how dark the night. It may look like Friday night and your friends are gone. And the death angel has come. Sunday's on the way. Promise is on the way. God is on the way. He's going to bring it to pass just like he said. Let's give God a hand praise of worship. Praise God. He used a woman to bring the salvation of the earth. He used that was cursed to break forth into a brand new day full of promise and full of power. Praise God. How many of you know that he's made a promise to you that he's given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy? Does anybody believe that today? Anybody walking in that today? How many of you read where he declared, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? Has anybody read what the word of God declared? That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My God, you need to know this. You need to lay hold. Somebody's up against it today and it's pressing you back. But I want you to understand and know that it may feel like a 20-ton stone on a tomb that you're buried in. It may seem like a long, dark night of history that you cannot break away from. But I want you to hear the promise of God today. If God said it, God purposed it, God's going to bring it to pass. Somebody say amen. Clap your hands unto him and bless his name. I'll give him a little bit of praise. I want every mama in the house that's worried about your babies. I want you to give God some praise today. I want every mother that thinks it's too dangerous a day for your babies to survive and the devil torments you with that. I want you to give God some praise. My God, if you're paranoid and you're anxious and you're worried about what God is able to do and how it's all going to be, I want you to get on your feet and dance a little bit and shout a little bit and praise God a little bit. Because it's not going to be the way the devil said. It's not going to be the way the devil has told you. It's going to be like God spoke it. It's going to be like God purposed it. It's going to be like it's already written and settled in the book. Give your neighbor a high five and say, God's already said it. Praise God. Praise God. Mama, you were called to give birth. But you were called to give birth to more than just flesh and blood. You were called to give birth to the promise of God. To the promise of God. I just want to amen my wife today. Teach them to live for God. If you're worried about the world, teach them to live for God. If you're worried about the economy, teach them to live for God. You may be thinking that we're miles and miles apart here and that There's no connectivity between the two. But I'm telling you, everything is centered and purposed by living for God. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. Our home and our finances are crumbling. Talk in tongues. My life seems to be falling about. Find yourself a prayer room and learn how to pray and pray in that heavenly language and let the Holy Ghost flow through you. You say, will that make up for not having an education? Will that make up for all the mistakes I've made and foolish living? I'm not telling you, you can be a tongue talking fool and it won't do you much good. But walking in the purpose and in the promise of God, and calamity begins to come and hardness begins to set in, you need to begin to press in and occupy and do those things that the Word of God has called you to do. Praise God. Praise God. I've got to find a place to get off of this. Praise God. Let's just stand together. And the woman brought forth, and the son that she brought forth was to rule the nations with a rod of iron, and he was caught up to the throne of God. And it just happened just like that. No discussion. No discussion about the incidentals or what it took or what happened or the details. Just he was just caught up. And we can go back and read the Gospels and we can read the commentary and the epistles and figure out how it all happened. But it really doesn't matter. What simply matters is that God said it and then he brought it to pass. Praise God. You got babies in your house. I mean, they're big. Big babies now. You got babies in your house. And she brought forth, and they were made, I'm taking a little bit of liberty with the passage here, they were made to rule with a rod of iron. Because he said, I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. So it's not just Jesus. He's the first one. But all of us who follow after, we're made to walk like him, live like him, have authority like him. And then he was caught up to the throne of God. And after your babies have walked in authority, then they're going to be caught up to God. And nothing can stop that. I mean, you can turn around and spit in God's eye right now. I'm not talking about your will. You can purpose or will to live for God or not. That's a given. But if you purpose in your heart, you can live for God. You can rule it with a rod of iron. And the rest of that verse, and was caught up to the throne of God. That's going to be true in your life. It's going to be true in your babies. Somebody say praise the Lord, because God will bring it to pass. Is that your daddy about to be baptized? Praise God. Don't hurt yourself when you shout now. You got to shout with a broken wang. Praise God. Let's love God together today in the house. Won't you just lift him up and bless him? Somebody in the house that's never been filled with the Holy Ghost, God will give it to you right here today. I see Brother Bobby in the back. God gave Bobby the Holy Ghost last Sunday morning right here. He'll give it to you this morning. If you're a backslider and things have not been like you thought they were going to be out there, run for your life. Come on. Come on down to an altar and say, God, I want to do this right. I want to walk in the promise and in the power of God. I want you to know this today. Satan is standing right there with you, ready to devour you. You need to get this right. All over the house, church, let's pray. Praise God. Mom and dad, or just mamas, if you've been worried about your babies and you've been troubled about them and Satan's been lying to you about them, I want you to come down to this altar and I want you to say, I'm going to stand in the promise of God. I'm going to stand in the power of God's word. Satan is a liar. If his mouth is moving, he's lying. Come on. Come on down to this altar and talk to God about it. Get a hold of that promise new and fresh. that love God to come lay your hands on these that are down at the altar and pray with them. Lay your hands on them. Come on and join with these and pray with them and strengthen them.
Thanks.